vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. For you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your love may be complete, that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen.
You know, last week we talked about the Christmas story and what God models through the story, because, you know, we talked about it being about relationship, is that God wants relationship more than anything with us, and so he sent his son so that he could have relationship with us. And so today, as I was going through, and I said, you know, God, show me what it is that you're modeling for us so that we can model it too, because God wants us to be just like him. He doesn't want us to be just like us. That would be catastrophic, wouldn't it? Yeah. He showed me that one of the things he's modeled through this whole story for us has been a sacrificial love. A love that gives of ourselves to the point of sacrifice, not just giving to the point of being comfortable, because there's nothing comfortable about sending your son to die on a cross. There's nothing comfortable about that. Very few of us here would be willing to send our only child to a cross to be crucified for the sake of the ones that we love. But it's exactly what happened here, and it's exactly what he models for us. And so God shows us what sacrificial love looks like. But here's the thing. We'll never be able to walk that out in our life and understand what it means to love people sacrificially until we get to a place where we really understand what it means to be attached to the vine. It says that, you know, you remember the scripture, I'm the vine and you are the branches. The whole idea is that if we're ever separate from the vine, if we ever get caught off of that and we're no longer like feeding off of Christ himself, we get to a place where we don't have the ability to love the way God wants us to love. And when you look at this passage, that's what it's all about. Like when we talk about being fruitful in life and bearing fruit, the fruit that we bear in our life is directly attached to love. If we're not bearing it out of love, then we don't really have anything to offer. Because if love is not the basis of the fruit that we produce, then it's really not really fruit at all, right? You guys with me? And so when he says here, he says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. I mean, this doesn't sound really pleasant in life, but I can tell you this has been my experience in life, and I think it's been many of your experiences too, is that when there are things in our lives that we don't need anymore that are getting in the way of us really producing fruit out of love, God ends up pruning those things off and gets them out of the way, and it's not always a fun process, I'll be honest. Anybody ever been pruned here to the point where maybe it was even a little bit embarrassing that the thing that was in your life got pruned off and it probably shouldn't even have been there? I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens. But, you know, God wants us to be able to operate in this kind of love. He wants us to be in a place where we can love sacrificially, because it ends up that this life's not really about us at all. You know, it says that no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You'll never really have any fruit unless you're connected to Christ, and it's the only way that it works. And so our whole life needs to be devoted toward staying connected to Christ and being connected to the vine and not being cut off. And so that's where we really need to be. You know, I was watching a game the other day, and the game was between Georgia, a college football game, between Georgia and Georgia Tech. And during the game, two of the players got in a fight in the end zone. And I don't know if you guys remember seeing this. It was like a week ago. And the Georgia player decides that he's going to grab the Georgia Tech player by the helmet, grabs him by the face masks, and starts punching him. And, you know, a lot of good it does to punch somebody with a helmet on, but whatever, you know. Made him feel better, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, he's punching the guy, and he's dragging him by his helmet, and he's punching him, and he just keeps on going. And, you know, it's interesting to listen to what the commentator says as this whole thing's happening. He says, you know what? That is one of the most selfish things I've seen in a long time. He said it's selfish for a lot of reasons, but it's selfish for this because, you see, he's not understanding that what he's doing right now is cutting him out of the rest of the game and probably part of the next game that he's going into, and they have another game to play. He said he's not really playing as part of the team. He doesn't understand there's a bigger picture here. And, you know, he also said this. He said, you know, this young man, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it because here's the thing. He still thinks it's all about him. You know, and that's the part that you can't find on YouTube, but I remember listening to it when I was watching the game. He said he doesn't get it. He still thinks it's all about him. It is all about the team, and one day he'll figure it out if he lasts long enough to find out, right? And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? That's been a picture of my life at times. It's been a picture of a lot of people's lives at times. That, you know what? It is really not about us, but we live this life like the one we love the most is just us. We do everything that we want to do. We do everything that makes us comfortable. We do all the things that we love to do, and it's great when we can create a life where we get exactly what we want out of it. I mean, isn't that how we think? You know, it's not like, I mean, I guess if there was a commentator that was sitting there looking at our lives at times, he would be, you know what, this guy doesn't get it. And I'm sure that he could probably say the same thing about my life at so many times. This guy doesn't get it because he still thinks it's all about him. You know, it's like until we understand that it's about us, until we understand that the love that Christ poured into us is about us, then it'll always be about us. We will not get it. And one of these days, if we walk with the Lord long enough, we're going to figure out that it's not about us, and it was not about us personally, but about us as a group. And I look at that and I think, man, that is so true. He says that apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, some people, and I think even in the world today, you know, the general consensus is, you know, with a new generation and a new thought process is that, you know, we're not bad people, we're okay, and God's going to be fine with us and everything else. But the bottom line is it still comes down to Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no way to the Father except through me. There's no way to get there except through Jesus Christ. We can do nothing with him. If you think that the love you have in your heart is enough without Jesus, we're delusional if we think that. My love stops short. I don't know about yours, but mine stops short. When people really make me angry and I'm not in a right frame of mind and I'm upset, I want to make it right. I want to tell everybody what's happened to me. Anybody there, is it just me? I mean, like, I get upset about stuff and it becomes about me. And the commentator would say, man, it's like he just doesn't get it, you know? And I think sometimes God may look at my life and he says, you know, Steve just doesn't get it. He still thinks it's about him. But I don't want to live in that place. You know, that's the human side of me. That's the human side of you. But, you know, I've got to come to grips with the fact, and you need to come to grips with the fact that you can't do anything without him. Don't ever cut yourself off of the vine that feeds the very lifeblood of who Christ is into you. You know, who gives you the ability to love sacrificially. Because here's the thing. I don't know where your fruit's coming from. But if our fruit's not coming out of love that Christ gave us because we're connected to him, then our fruit is worthless. It's rotting on the vine. You know what I mean? It's not worth anything. I mean, it might look good. It might help people. It might seem like something. But the question is, who's getting the glory? Because when I do something out of love and people see that it's a consistent, like, Christ-like love in my heart, and the fruit that I produce is based on that, when they see the fruit, they see Jesus. They don't see me. Amen. But for everything that I've ever done in my life, that was about me, that made me feel good because I did it, that it was done in my own strength, and it wasn't done in Christ's love, but it was done in just goodwill. And all that stuff where it was just really about what was going on in me and it somehow fed me. The question is, was that just rotted fruit or what? Because I think it was, as I look back over those things. I think, you know, the things that I really want to accomplish in my life, I want them to be done in the power of Christ. I don't want them to be done in me anymore. You know, they've got to be based on Him. You know, it says here that my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I mean, let's just be real. We've got to be at a place where we do life the way Christ wants it done. There's no other way around that. You know, it's so funny because sometimes churches that are free and we act like we're just free to be us, it's like sometimes we get to the point where we don't really get to this. We don't really talk about this much because we call some of this stuff legalism. There's nothing legalistic about the fact that we have to do it Christ's way. There's no other way to do it. Because if you want your fruit to be good, it's got to be done in accordance with what he talks about. We've got to be friends with Christ so we can get to a place where we can truly love people the way he wants us to. Because I want my fruit in my life and I want the fruit in your life to be based on the very essence of Christ, and that is his love. Amen. And it's so easy for us to say, well, you know, we do this and we do that and it's all good stuff. And it's like we can do things that are humanitarian. We can do all this stuff. But if it's not done because we're living life the way Christ wants it done, and we have a friendship with him, and we are at a place where, you know, we are emulating the love that we see in Christ, then it doesn't really have any value. You know, but this whole idea of sacrificial love is like something that is really hard, because I don't think that we as Christians do it really well, and I'm just being honest, you know. I'll speak for me. I mean, you can sort it out for yourself. But when I think about this whole idea of sacrificial love, I think, you know, I mean, what we have to sacrifice, or what seems sacrificial for us is different for each person. Because if I told Toby, hey, I'm going to need you to sacrifice this morning, I need you to get up and say something, you're like, give me the mic. You know what I mean? That's not a sacrifice for you. It's just what you do, you know? And it's like, if I ask somebody else, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that, or I want you to step out and do this, for some people it's no big deal, but for others it's a huge thing. And I don't know what your point of sacrifice is. I don't know what seems like sacrifice to you. But, you know, I wonder if we're willing to sacrifice for those around us, realizing that it's not about us, it's about us. You know what I mean? I mean, are we really willing to sacrifice those things? You know, for me, and I'll just speak for me, one of the things that's a sacrifice for me is my time, because my schedule's kind of busy sometimes. And so when I give time to somebody, it's a very meaningful thing to me. It may not mean as much to you, but it means a lot to me. Because if I sit down with you and we spend time together and stuff, it's because I'm pouring that out. And that's definitely a love thing for me, because I'm sacrificing it for you, you know? And it may not seem like a whole lot to some people. Maybe for some people it's their money. Maybe if somebody needed $100 or whatever in this congregation, and you needed to pour out that money, that would be a huge thing for you, because maybe money has a little bit more of your heart than it needs to. I mean, not that that's your issue, but I don't know what that is, but you know. You know, it could be that to show love to somebody is you have to step into a situation that's kind of awkward, you know? Anybody love awkward stuff here? No, like nobody wants to step into an awkward situation, you know? But there are so many awkward moments in life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, stuff that's just like you see somebody hurting, but like you don't even know what to say about it. I mean, times when there's been issues with us and somebody else, and it's like, I don't even know where to begin with this thing, but I know I need to do something. I don't really know what to do, but I don't know. I mean, you know, for me to step into an awkward situation is like a sacrifice for me. Because it requires a lot out of me to step into it to try to make some sense out of it, you know? But you know those things, we face them all the time, right? We face stuff that requires us to deal with emotions and to deal with feelings and stuff and to deal with things that we don't always like to deal with. But do we love people enough to sacrificially give of our emotions and to give of ourselves, even in like awkward situations, to be who Christ wants us to be? You know, this whole life, I mean, there are a lot of things that I would love to have out of life. And to be honest, it's like every one of us has a different picture of what your life really should look like. You know, but what it ends up is that we should all have the same picture of what life looks like, and that is that whatever Christ wants is what we do.
Amen.
And I know that's hard because that doesn't always work with your plan. Mm-hmm. It was not my plan to speak for a living. It wasn't my plan to come here and be a pastor. I had other plans in life. But if you'll listen, God will speak and he will tell you where he wants you to go and he'll clear the path for you. And you got to love him enough to sacrifice the very things that you've put up on a pedestal in your life and said, this is what I want. This is what I want life to look like. We got to be willing to sacrifice all that to be who Christ wants us to be. And that's not always easy. Because, I mean, one of my biggest fears in life was that I would have to publicly speak one day. I mean, like, I can't even tell you. I mean, like, it was horrible. It was horrible when I came here, you know? I remember the first sermon I gave. It was back in California. I'm like, I didn't sleep for a week. I was sick. I was so sick. I can't stand up in front of people and do it. It was a sacrifice. I mean, it took everything that I had to put that message together, which took like 30 hours to put it all together. And I just fretted over it. And I went to our little country church there in California, and small congregation. I stood up there, and I think every joint in my body was shaking. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I doing this? I don't even want to do this, but there's something in me that compels me. You know, the thing about it is that, like, I love the Lord so much that whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. Amen. To the point of making myself sick if I have to get to where I need to go. I mean, I was so sick over it. It's just, it was such a stretch for me. And it's like, I wonder if we're willing to take ourselves to that place. Like, I don't know what it is that kind of makes you a little sick inside, but if God called you to do it, would you do it? How much do you love the people in this place? How much do you love your family? How much do you love your community? Are you willing to go in a place that's massively uncomfortable for you to do the very thing that God wants you to do because you've chosen to love sacrificially? Man, we are really good at loving comfortably. You know? I mean, we're really good at it. As a matter of fact, it's become a way that we do life, is that I'm good with doing whatever I feel like doing today. I'm going to do the best I can to be who God wants me to be. And to be honest with you, the majority of my days on this earth are spent in a place of comfort, not in a place of sacrifice. And I think that's true for a lot of us, unless I'm just really jacked up and everybody's got it together, then maybe we should switch places. I don't know. But I mean, I think that I'm not far off from everybody, you know? I think that we sometimes take this stance to where, like, I'm going to serve God until I get to a place where I'm not really okay with it, and then I'm going to say, well, you know, I'm not really comfortable with that. It's so funny when we ask people things like, you know, anybody love the kids of our church? Anybody? Amen. You love our kids? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Anybody want to teach them this morning? Anybody? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that uncomfortable for you? I think you get the idea, right? Anybody love babies in this place? Anybody love babies, you know, like 3 and under? We got a nursery in there filled with babies. You know, you ought to go in there and spend some time with them. It's awesome. You'd love it. Anybody uncomfortable right now? You know? I mean, it's just like, I wonder what would happen if we loved our babies sacrificially. Everybody. Because these babies are our family, right? You know, many of you do that here. But many of you still could do that here, you know? You know, we have a preschool class back there that's absolutely amazing. You love our preschoolers? Anybody love preschoolers? Yeah. Yeah. We're even getting a little applause. Thank you over there. I appreciate that. Okay, Wayne, we got a job for you, okay? We're going to get you back there. It's time to teach some preschoolers this morning, okay? Yeah. He's like, I'm a little uncomfortable right here. Yeah. You know, I'm afraid that our love has some limits to it. You know what I mean? I'm afraid our love has a little bit of limits because I think sometimes we're like, yeah, I love those kids. They're so awesome. You want to do something for them? No, but thanks for asking. You know, it's like, no, my love just cut short. I don't know. Hey, I think it's lunchtime. Anybody want to go? It's like, I don't know. I couldn't hear you. I don't know what you said. At some point, we have to come to grips with the fact that our love gets cut a little short, you know? Because I'll be honest, I think everybody in this place loves our babies. And I think they love our children here. And I think you love the adults in this place. But here's the thing. Our kids need us, right? And they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. You know? A lot of the things that were poured into my life happened when I was a kid. My grandma did it. She wasn't really nice. My grandma was a little rough. She beat me with the Bible. But it worked its way in there slowly. It got in there. And, we don't beat kids with Bibles here. It was like she poured into my life and poured into my life over and over and over. Because you know why? She loved me. I don't know if it was really easy for her to do. As a matter of fact, she back in old school churches, people like served in the church as teachers for like 40 years. You know what I mean? And now it's like, I don't know, I did 6 months, but I'm going to have to take a sabbatical. You know what I mean? It's like sabbatical is getting a little too common. But anyway, it's like we need to be in a place where we say, you know what? My love has no limits to what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to be as uncomfortable as I need to be because of who God wants me to be, not who I want me to be. You know, and I don't do this today. This is not a recruitment sermon for children's church. That's not it. I want you to understand that even within all of us, we have some limits to what we're willing to do. And you know, here's the thing. God says, I want no limits on your life because I want to do some amazing things in you. But I can't do it because there's some stuff that still has to be pruned off. Yeah, you're connected, but there are some things in your life that are keeping you from being everything that I've always wanted you to be. And so I'm going to prune that stuff off. But you know, sometimes I think we get to a point where we just don't want to be pruned and we want to hide behind the other branches and we just want to be left alone. And I don't want to ever be like that in my life because here's the thing, I want to produce fruit. I don't want to be just one of those sticks on the vine that just, you know, gets knocked off. You know, it's like I want to be this place in my life where what I bring to the table is real fruit, not the fruit that I thought I was doing before I knew Christ, you know? Like, I want to really be connected, and I want to really produce things, but it's going to require some sacrifice on my part. You know, there are times in this place where people come in here hurting. They come into this congregation hurting. They come to church because they said, you know, I'm having a really rough day, but I know that when I have my roughest day, this is a good place for me to be. And when we see them come in here, we know they're broken. We know they're hurt. And, you know, some of them need to be prayed for. They need to be pulled right in and prayed for. But then some people will say, I don't do that. Well, why? Why? Is it uncomfortable for you? Is that what it is? It's uncomfortable to pray? You know, the thing about it is that are you willing to sacrifice or are we just going to stay comfortable again? Because, you know, it doesn't matter if you pray right, whatever. There's no wrong way to do it, right? Amen. That we are willing to do whatever God wants us to do to be who he wants us to be in that moment. And that when I see someone hurting that I love and I care about, and by the way, it talks about laying down your life for your friends. Who are your friends anyway? Certainly all of us, right? But I would really challenge you to think that anybody who's your friend or your neighbor is anyone you have contact with. You know? Are you willing to lay it down to be who they need you to be in that moment? Are you willing to pray for them even if you've never done it before? You can do it. I promise you, you can do it. Amen. Because here's the thing. Like, I remember when I came here to pastor this church, you know, there's some things you don't know you haven't done until you finally have to do them. You ever notice that? And I got to the end of my sermon, my first sermon here, which, by the way, was almost like 13 years ago, a few weeks from now. And I stood here and I got done and I thought to myself for just a moment, wait a minute, I think pastor's closing in prayer. But I had never done that in front of people before. You know, I went to a church of a few thousand people and you don't get opportunities to do that stuff because it's all kind of laid out and orchestrated, you know. So here I stand, I mean, like, right here. And I'm like, okay, everybody bow your heads. It's time to close in prayer. I'm like, never done this, you know. And I did it. And I don't even know what I said. I don't even remember. But it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. That's what I do. That's what God wants me to do. That's what I came to do. But it was massively uncomfortable for me, you know. And I wonder if we're all willing to do that. You know, I mean, I wonder if you guys are willing to pray for somebody. I wonder if you're willing to be there for somebody and listen to their story. I wonder if somebody comes in here and they're broken and they just want to unload. You guys ever had something really bad happen in your life? You just want to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about it. Anybody? That if somebody comes in and they want to do that, that you're willing to listen to them when they want to do that. I wonder if you're willing to do that. Because that's this whole idea of laying down your life for a friend. Laying down the life that you've always thought you were going to have for the sake of the one God wanted you to have all along. Amen. I wonder if you're willing to do that. Because that's where God's called us to be. You know, I can remember asking someone one time if they would read the scripture in a service. And she said to me, I don't want to do, no, I can't, I mean, I'm not, can't do it. I mean, it was something like that. Anyway, it was a lot of stuttering. And she said, I just don't want to. And I said, well, this is what we're going to do today. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it. And you know, the problem is that growing up, she was told that she couldn't read and that she couldn't get it out right. And she always struggled and all that kind of stuff. And so that was always in the back of her mind. But you know what she did? She stood up here and she read the scripture and she pushed through. And that was a very uncomfortable moment. Anybody ever have something stuck in your head from a long time ago that you can't seem to get out that causes you problems today? Something somebody spoke over you, you know? So she stood up here and she reads the passage and she gets through it and everything goes just right. And she pushes through it. I can tell you that's a place of discomfort. But when we love the people enough, we'll take the time to read the truth of the Word of God to them, even if it creates problems for us and it creates discomfort for us. And I wonder if we're willing to live like that, you know? How about this one? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's tough. It's sacrificial to love the people who hurt you badly. The people who've done things in your life and they never made it right. The things you just haven't seen, you haven't been able to get over. I wonder if you're willing to love those people anyway. You know, I've been there. I understand it's not like nothing bad happens to pastors and stuff like that. You know, wasn't always a pastor. There are a lot of things in my life that I look back that weren't made right, and they were tough. But you know, one thing that I want to pray for, and I want this to be my heart every day that I'm alive, is Lord, give me the ability to love those people to the point of not only praying for them every day, but Lord, lifting them to you. Just lifting them to you constantly and saying, Lord, do a work in them. And not, Lord, snuff them out, because I had a couple of those prayers too. I don't know if you've ever had those prayers before, but they're a little tough. That's not God's heart, by the way. Yes. That we just pray for those people who have hurt us and who have persecuted us and who said things about us. So we have to love them anyway. But I want to get to a place where I don't just do it because I have to. Well, I have to pray for them. I have to love them because that's what Jesus says to do. I want it to actually be in my heart, you know? I want it to be so deeply in me that I lift them up all the time. Amen. And I'm still working on stuff, and I think that maybe we're all still working on stuff. Anybody ever been hurt in this place like that before? Anybody? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You know, ultimately, we want to get to a place in our lives where we ask God, you know, God, more than anything, I want you to change my heart. Amen. I want you to change my heart toward the way I see life. You know, I don't want to see life the way I've always seen life. I don't want life to be as I define it. I want life to be as Christ defines it. Amen. And I don't want to just love people superficially. Oh, love you. It's good to see you. I don't want to have that kind of love. I want to have a love that's so deep from within me because I'm connected to the vine that is Jesus Christ, that love pours out of me in every possible way, you know? That I lift people in prayer, that I'm there for them, that whatever is needed for them, that I'm willing to give it even if it hurts me. Because I'm willing to put Christ first. I don't want people to look at my life when I get to the very end and say, you know what, that guy, he just didn't get it. He just didn't get it. He still doesn't realize that it's not about him. I don't want people to be able to say that. Because eventually we'll have a funeral. We all end up there, right? Mm-hmm. And when I get to the end of this life, and as you get to the end of this life, the best thing that could ever be said is that we loved well. You know, that we loved with Christ's love, not with our own. And that our life had the signature of Christ on it more than any other signature, you know? That's what I want. But, you know, it comes down to this decision for you. We have to get to a place where we'll say, Lord, change my life. Change the way I see life. Change my perspective on things. Change me. You know, we don't need our world changed. Because the world gets changed one person at a time when they're willing to give their heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to do something in me that only you can do. Amen. And when we do that and we ask for God to change us, then things begin to change for us and we begin to be fruitful. And I think that a lot of us here in this place today are fruitful people, but God has even more for you. And we've got to get to a place where we're willing to have that prayer with the Lord and say, Lord, change me. So if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know where you're at with all this today. I don't know when you look at your life, are you living a life of comfort or are you living a life of sacrifice? Do you love people sacrificially or do you love people comfortably? I don't know where you're at with all those things, but I can tell you no matter where you are, when we have a heart after God, we say, Lord, change me, make me more like you, help me to stay connected with you so that I can feed from the love that you have in your heart for me, and I can pour that same kind of love out. If that's where you're at and your heart's desire today is to say, Lord, change me, if you would lift your hand today, I want to pray over you today. Does anybody need change in your life today? Praise God. Praise God. Hands everywhere. Father God, I thank you. I thank you so much for what you're doing in our hearts today, Lord. I thank you that you have laid out a plan for us to love sacrificially, but it means that we have to stay connected to you. It means that we have to take hold of the command that you've given us to love each other as you have loved us. It means that we've got to get to a place where we're willing to lay down our lives for our friends. Father God, help us to lay down everything that gets in the way of what you want us to have. Lord, for us that have a particular view of what we think life should be, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you wipe that stuff out so that we can begin to allow you to define life for us. That you can define the life that we have ahead of us, not us. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for changing us, Lord. I pray that you open our hearts to doing things sometimes that are uncomfortable, that we do them with you in mind, that for things we normally wouldn't do, for things that we don't normally put ourselves out there emotionally for, Lord, that you allow us to do that. Lord, I pray that you give us the ability to love the way you love and to love those who even hurt us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you don't let anything in us like bitterness or resentfulness or anything like that, Lord, that would get in the way of the love that you're trying to pour out through our lives. Lord, change our hearts today. Help us to see life the way you see it. Lord, give us your perspective. Lord, we just love you, thank you today. And we commit ourselves to you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me just also, if we could just continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed. There may be some of you here today who say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, but I want to begin to live a life with him. I can tell you that what we talk about today, about life and love pouring into you and giving you the ability to live out this life that we've talked about, it only comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through making a decision for him and saying, I want to accept him into my life. I want Jesus in my life because I want to live out this life the way he wants it done. I want to be fruitful. I want to have a point to my life. If that's where you're at today, if you would lift your hand, you're saying you're ready to make that decision, thank you. Is there anyone else here today? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else here today? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I just want to lead you in this prayer between you and God. Father God, today I give you my life. I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into my heart. Father, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived my life, but today I choose you. Father, give me ears to hear your Holy Spirit speak. And Lord, give me the strength to be obedient to your word. Today I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And he was raised and resurrected. And today I receive him into my heart. Father, change me from